So we're here talking about gaiva. Yesterday we actually discussed the difference between self-confidence and gaiva. A person is supposed to know their talents, and if a person doesn't know his talents, he won't be able to do anything in life. He also will be nervous every time he does something. Imagine you have a Olympic swimmer who's not confident, and every time they go into the pool, they're not sure whether they're going to do a good job. So, of course, that's not the way a person's supposed to be. A person's supposed to know their talents, and a person is supposed to function in a way that they're confident that things should go well. However, the Baal Gaiva, the Mesillas Yesharim, says, this is his Hagdara, Hine Klalim Yina Gaiva Uzesha Adam Machshiv Atmo Be'atmo. The Baal Gaiva values himself for himself, meaning he doesn't view his gifts as God-given, but rather he views himself as the source of his gifts. In fact, just to bring it into the Pesach frame of mind, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says about Paro, Leah Yor and Yasisani, that essentially Paro was saying that he was a self-made man. Ani asisani means I made myself. And obviously a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world in a way that a person could take that route and really think that they are the master of their own destiny. And we talked about yesterday how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is humbling the entire world. In all facets of existence, people are being reminded that they do not call the shots. So the Mesillas Yesharim said also that if a person recognizes that he has talents or that he's good looking, he finds himself to be handsome, honorable, of an impressive person. It's interesting. The Mesillas Yesharim says that there are people who consider themselves a chacham, and then he says there are people who consider themselves a baal seichel. What's the difference between a baal seichel and a chacham? So it's very interesting what the difference is. Today we have IQ tests, for example. IQ tests, or SATs even for that matter, do not test real knowledge. They test the ability to solve problems and the ability to comprehend, reading comprehension. And they're essentially testing your capabilities, not your knowledge. That's the sugya called seichel. Seichel is somebody whose mind works well. He might not know anything per se. He might know absolutely nothing. He could be a street kid, but he's very bright, very, very bright. A chacham is someone who has wisdom. So there are two reasons a person can be arrogant. There are the people who sit in a shir who, if they follow the shir, they could slug up the Magid shir, even though they didn't come to morning Seder, and they don't have a clue what the sugya is, but based on following the train of thought of the Rebbe and the shir, they're so smart that they could find a hole in the logic. That's called the baal seichel, because he doesn't have acquired knowledge, but he's so fast, he's so capable. And there are people who are arrogant with that. Even though they don't know anything, they love just slugging things up. They find themselves impressive because if they could learn, they would be the best at it, which is kind of funny because those types of people remind you that their SAT scores were 1600 and they're unemployed today. And for some reason, they feel that it's enough that they could know something if they would want to. That's one type of person. And then there's the person who's a chacham. A chacham is someone who's knowledgeable. He impresses people with his knowledge. He could be at a table and they could talk about virtually anything, and he has real yedius, real understanding, real up-to-date knowledge. It could be his command in Torah. It could be his understanding of secular wisdom. It could be his knowledge in baseball statistics. Whatever the case may be, but he takes pride in it, and he becomes arrogant because of his knowledge. So all of these talents are wonderful, but when a person values himself as the source of his talents, then he becomes what we call a bal gaiva. He's arrogant. This is why we find that a person is capable. It's yadua about Rabbi Kiva Eger, the great Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Rabbi Kiva Eger had enormous amounts of anava, enormous amount of modesty. There are stories, wild stories about his anava, that he didn't even know why the Chasam Sofer would want him as a father-in-law. He was so, because the Chasam Sofer was so impressive. I mean, this was Rabbi Kiva Eger. And on the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Eger, when it came to the big debate, which would be the real Shas? Today we take for granted that we have the Vilna Shas, that the Vilna Shas is now the only accepted Shas. But there was a debate between two Shases. Who would be the official Shas of Klal Yisrael? And Rabbi Kiva Eger went and said, I am Kavod HaTorah in this generation, and I say that it's the Vilna Shas. Now, how could it be that somebody with such humility could possibly in the same breath say, I am Kavod HaTorah in this generation, and what I say is what the Kvius is? The answer is not a steer of Bechlau. If Rabbi Kiva Eger knew that he was Rabbi Kiva Eger and felt that he was the source of all of his siyata d'shmaya for being Rabbi Kiva Eger, then he would have been a bal gaiva. But Rabbi Kiva Eger saw all of his hatzlacha, saw all of his greatness as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For sure, if we would interview Moshe Rabbeinu today, right, we probably wouldn't be able to see him, or we'd be vaporized from his kedusha. But if we could interview Moshe Rabbeinu and ask him, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you the most modest man that ever stepped on planet Earth? I believe 100% that Moshe Rabbeinu would have to answer yes, because the pasuk says, Aish Moshe Anav Ma'od, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was complimented by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being exceptionally modest. How can someone say that about themselves? The answer is, you can understand and know where you are in life and your level, but you don't make yourself bigger because of that. You don't make yourself above other people. In fact, just the opposite. We're going to learn that the more gifts Hashem gives you, the more you become humbled by the fact that you were given those gifts. So he says, Klalo shel davar, kol echad min advarim atovim shebaolam, any gift that we get in the world, any talent or any skill, im yachshav ha'adam sheyesh nabo, if a person thinks he has that talent, notice how he doesn't say if you have that talent, because there are people who are living in the dark. They go, ooh, I'm a good basketball player, right? Nobody picks him, but he thinks that about himself, so he could potentially also be a bal gaiva. Meaning, if you think you have a certain trait that's exceptional, harei u'misukin miyad lipol b'shachas es shel gaiva, then you're in danger of becoming a bal gaiva. You're not actually a bal gaiva, because knowing you have talents does not make you a bal gaiva, but you're in danger of becoming a bal gaiva. Acharei shekava adam b'liba yosef chashev v'roi l'tehila, once a person decides that he is all that, and people should really acknowledge his greatness, lotia atolda yotzim min ha'machshava zos achas bilvad, el atoldus rabas mishunas teit sentimento, very bad things are going to come out of this. We're going to see. So let's see. Hine yimatze geya echad. We're going to go over different types of arrogant people. This is the one of the wonderful things Masil Sharm does in a lot of areas, is he categorizes for us different types of arrogant people, different types of angry people, different types of jealous people, different types of humble people. The Masilsi Sharm has the deepest type of psychology, where he literally, with hair-splitting chilukim, describes different types of people and the way they think. So let's go over Baal Gaiva number one. Here we go. Hine yimate geya echad shiyachsha belibo. An arrogant person thinks in his head. This is one particular type of arrogant guy. Since he's really distinguished in a certain area, he has to start acting the part. Bein belechto, the way he walks. Bein beshifto, the way he sits. And I'm going to act this out for you on video. This is very exciting. I'm going to try to do this for you. I'm going to stand up in a second, and one of my kids is going to hold the phone, Bein bekumo bediburo ubein bemaisav lo yelech al benachas gadol akevo betzad gudalo. He walks very slow. Below yeshev al afrachtam. So first I'm going to act out the walking very slow. Here we go. 1 second. Like this. Like he's the head honcho, and he scans out the room. And then we're talking about how he sits, afrachta, like this. And now let's see what else he does. 1 second, I'd like to thank Yitzi, our cameraman. Everything he does is slow. Perhaps he even rubs his beard like this, very slow. We're moving ourselves back to our place. That was very, very exciting. That was my chance for the big Hollywood. Okay, so he's doing all these things. He's strutting, he's leaned back, meaning you see it in his body language, how he's behaving. Lo yakum ela ma'at kenachash. He gets up very slowly like a snake. I'm going to show you how to do this. Watch how slow I get up. Like a big event, right? Like somebody's like reeling him up. Why is he doing this? So this is the big yesod. I actually bring this in my sefer, that this Mesilas Yesharim. Why is he acting so heavy? The answer is that kavod, which is honor, and kaved, which is heavy, are the same root. And when a person wants to be a heavyweight, a big man, a heavy hitter, right? His pinion holds weight. We associate honor with heaviness. So when a person gets up too quickly, like this, that's not kavodik. It's got to be slow and dramatic. And he strokes his beard slow. And he struts around the room. Then he creates a presence for himself. Of course, it's shtutzim v'avalim, because he's mamish of balgaiva, fat. But still, it's effective. It's effective. Lo yakum el ma'ad kenachas, she gets up slow like a snake. Below yidabri makol elim nichbadi aretz. And he also doesn't speak to everyone. People come over and ask you a question. He looks them down like, what do I need you to ask me a question? I don't need you. And you're beneath me. He doesn't say it, but he gives like this look of disdain. I don't have time for this. He's looking for people who will help his shtults, that being seen with him, them is good for his credentials. And even the people he holds up that he should be speaking to, he speaks to them very quickly, like, yeah, 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 talk him. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like, ooh, he doesn't have time. Okay. Yeah. He does that. Thank you, Nechama, for being my person I was speaking to. I'm not showing you on the video, don't worry. Okay. My kids are getting a lot of entertainment here. I've been zocha to be, they're also part of the Midos Vod, and their Midos have changed drastically since I started this. It's gavaldic. Anyway, Vikol Shar Maisa Bitznuosa Bipuloso, all of his actions and his movements, Bimacholo Vimishto, and even the way he eats, everything's an event with this guy. The Malbushov and his dress, he's always wearing such nice clothes. Ubechol drachim, he's not big fadus gadol. He's very heavy. Ki'ilu kol besaro oferes, like his whole body is lead. Bom, 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 bom. Bechol atzamav even ochol. And it's like all of his bones are made of stone. Again, he's way too into himself, this guy. He's very, very dramatic about his whole way. That's his whole metzias. Okay, so that's our Baal Gaiva. Can you imagine that guy? You guys might have even seen him in high school. You know, he walks into a room and he's like, let me see if I can get a closer show you guys exactly like. Scans the room. The party can start. Stark is here. Right? I hope none of you are that guy. If you are, I apologize that I'm insulting you on a public Zoom meeting, on a webinar, maybe it's called. Okay, that's the Balgaiva number one. So what's this Balgaiva number one? He thinks he's all that, and he now needs to act the part. He struts around, right? And he does his thing, and he makes a big drama of himself. Gaiva, Balgaiva number two. Wow, look at this guy. He's such a Balgaiva that he feels like he has to scare people. He instills fear. You know, he's at a wedding. Waiter! I didn't order this rare. I ordered it medium rare. He tries to scare everybody. I didn't say that shot. I said a different shot. He wants people to run away. He doesn't want people to think he's so accessible. Again, he's not an angry guy. He's an arrogant guy. He wants that there should be a consequence. When you come in front of him, you should feel like you're in front of somebody like, ooh, scary guy. Like this guy, he could really tear you into pieces. And anything you ask him is an ordeal. Like, if people dare to come near him, he scares them with his voice. I said that in sheer. Didn't you hear me? Who's going to ask a Rebbe that type of kasha? Or he says to Chavrusa, bozo, where have you been for an hour? Didn't you hear me say that pshat in Rashi an hour ago? Right? Why is he doing it? Because he wants to intimidate his chavrusa. Sorry for saying the word bozo. It's not such a nice word, but I'm trying to act like a Balgaiva. Anyway, bozo. V'im yalpilu la'os ilav yivalim b'kolo u'beruach svasiv yuhumam. Ba'anos lem azas. He speaks to them in a very, very brazen way. Upon of zoophos, and he has intimidating features. Which is very interesting. This guy is not a hothead. He literally likes to intimidate. He has an intimidating factor that he uses. Now, I know what you guys are thinking, and I want to clarify this. Just because you meet a Rav who's tough, I had a Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, where I was in trepidation from speaking to him, and he was the type of person. If I asked him something, he said, Amarti itza. I said that in the shir. Why are you asking me that? And he had that bite. But his bite was from teaching us to take Torah more seriously, to take what we're asking more seriously, to teach us how to read things in it more carefully and to think better. And that it wasn't coming from an intimidation factor. It was chinuch. So if you see somebody who's harsh, you can't chas v'shalom assume that they're a Balgaiva. What could be is that they're being mechanic this way. This way of being mechanic is a little bit outdated because we're very, very fragile. I had a Rebbe who was very, very harsh years ago. Not a Rebbe that you would know of. And I came into his office and I said, Rebbe, I can't handle your approach with me. We just have to stop this. It's just too much. I was afraid to ask questions. I was afraid to suggest anything. And then he was like a lamb. He was a very nice Rebbe. He just thought this was a good way to teach. I said, Rebbe, this is not working for me. And he totally changed his approach with me because I couldn't think in front of him. I was so nervous. But this person that we're talking about in the Mesil Sesharim, it's all staged. He's trying to do this. He's trying to make himself like the man. That nobody could dare ask him a question. He's so unapproachable. Everything's with a price. So we discussed two types of behaviors of Bali Gaiva today. Behavior number one is the one who creates a theatrical heaviness to himself. Everything he does is slow and arrogant. His body motions are that way. And then number two, the second type of Baal Gaiva feels that he shouldn't be so easily approachable. And therefore, he's got a certain bite to him. But that bite is only coming from creating this image of I'm the man. And if you're coming into my Dalet Amos, you better just jump in and run away because there's nobody who's better than me. And what are you doing here, Bichlal?